Good to be with you. I was thinking about the teaching tonight, and I haven't forgotten my brother Sean. So the title of the teaching is The God Who Sees, Genesis 16. So you can turn there. We'll go through the first six verses. But I wanted to attach some of what Sean taught on with the title. And so I put like a subtitle, The Faith Builder Who Sees. Because Sean talked about God building our faith, and I thought it was a fantastic teaching that we got to sit under. And so as we embark on the journey tonight, I don't know if you guys even thought about this or you knew about this, but tomorrow is the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. And I was still a police officer at the time, and I remember going to work gearing up, astounded by what I saw on TV as I prepared for duty. And I started to reflect, as my wife shared that with me today, that we're so blessed. You know, the United States of America is the only current country that still lives by our founding documents. Though they're trying to redefine and change it, right? Amen? But we still are secured in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. Those things are still there. And there's no other country in the world that can proclaim that. But I submit to you, 22 years ago, God gave us a symbol of the crumbling of our culture with those two towers. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. God sees us. And yet, we cry out as a nation, get away from us. Take your hand off of us. My wife purchased me a book for my birthday. I've been reading it. It's called The Miracles in American History. It's amazing. Don't listen to what secular books and people tell you. I would say 98% of our founding people believed in God. And there is so much prayer and fasting through our history. I'm into the 1930s now. But from the 1700s all the way to the 1930s, there was prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting. Nationally. As a nation, let's not lose that, amen? Let's not forget tomorrow when it comes on us, because it shook us up. But God sees, amen? I was thinking about chapter 16, and I wouldn't call Abraham one of my heroes, but he's respected, right? He's respected, but right now he says Abram. He's not Abraham yet. And I was thinking about how difficult in my life, and probably in your life, when we try to escape difficult situations, various ways of doing that, with our coping skills that we learn as kids, people like to seek medication, drugs, alcohol, having fun, pour yourself into your career. You know, these are tools that we use to escape hard situations. And I started thinking, you know, biblically, there's a whole bunch of people, but this made me feel good. Elijah, a great prophet, right? He wiped out all those prophets of Baal in the Mount of Carmel. And the very next moment you read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18, he's running and hiding in a cave from Jezebel. He's running. That's a coping skill. And then you look at King David. In 1 Samuel chapter 21 through 24, he's running over and over and over again, knowing that he's anointed king, and he's running from Saul, King Saul. He's running. I'm encouraged by that. Well, how about this one? This person, one of my favorites. He always makes me feel good when I think about him, the Apostle Peter. Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, we see Peter running from the truth. You are one of his followers. So don't feel bad, my loved ones, when you're caught up in this moment of trying to escape a hard moment. Great people in the Bible have done it. Human beings have done it from the beginning of time till today. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when you look at your difficult situation tonight, and I think all of us have it, because Daniel writes about it in chapter 7, verse 25. In the end times, the saints of the Most High will be constantly harassed to wear us down. So whatever you're going through in your life, and what I'm going through in my life, I want you to understand that our difficult situations, even if we choose poorly, God still loves us. He still looks upon us, and we get to live still for a better day, for a better moment. I like what Charles Spurgeon wrote. He says, when I open the window to see God, it will not be bolted on the other side. God never shuts us off. He's always there. But you and I have the power to open that window to see him as he is in your life, in your situations. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And whenever I open it, God, I thank the psalmist in 119, 105. It said, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So light us up tonight, God. Let your word be so bright and so powerful that we can see it in the moments of our lives and we can share it with this lost and dying world, including some of those who are close to us. So have your way, Lord. Reveal yourself tonight to us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, let's read chapter 16. I'll read verses 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Some of your Bibles might say, he took heed of her voice. When you look at this moment in Abram's life, he just got done with the great covenant that Sean talked about. Cutting animals in two. He was knocked out. God did all the work. And right from that glorious, precious moment, he's stuck with this choice of his wife coming to him and pouring her heart out. I don't say she's complaining. I'm saying she's pouring her heart out. She's hurting. This precious covenant God has just completed. And let me give you definitions of these three names that we're going to go through, all right? And because it makes sense. Sarai, English, princess. Abram, exalted father. That's going to change. Hagar, I love this one. In Hebrew, it means flight, to run, right? This situation is initiated really by self-centered motive. Sarai wants kids. She wants kids. And when you and I are self-centered like she is, it initiates anxiousness. It distorts God's will. And notice that ungodly vision or perspective comes along. She says, God has prevented this. Why do we got to blame God for that? God didn't send the fires. He didn't send the earthquakes. And yet, even in our own lives, sometimes we blame God. Amen? Because it's easy for us to blame. It makes us feel better. You did it. But it was always in us. That's our stuff. Somebody might have triggered it, but it's our stuff. Just like here with Sarai. And now Abram has this situation on his hand. I know she didn't have the Psalms to read, but I love the Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. It says, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he heard me. He inclined to hear me. He lifted me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he placed my feet upon the rock, and he will establish my footsteps. You know, patience goes a long way, huh? And so I heard this preacher say one time, I get so bummed when I'm reading Bible verses and it's talking about patience and nobody ever thinks that I'm a patient person. That bums me out. I can't tell you I'm a patient person either. But it's a virtue, and parts of God's character is built on patience. Look at how much he put up in your life and my life. He not only sees, he has patience. You know, Abram has a choice right here. His wife pouring her heart out. Is he going to lean on God or be influenced by his past, his wife, and the totality of the culture around him? Can he live the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord in everything, right? Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. That's, my loved ones, that's not just words. Those are promises, God says. If you have the patience to lean on me and let me be who you need me to be, I will guide your steps. But you know, Abram, he had a past, right? Just like you and I. And he escaped hard moments. Remember in Genesis 12, he lied to King Abimelech about Sarai. No, she's my sister. That was the wife, but he thought he was going to get killed because he thought she was so beautiful, the king will want her, kill him, then it can be the king's wife. So Abram, he tried to shuck and duck with hard times. And Sarai knew of God's promises also. She was there, she knew. God said, seed's going to come through you guys. Not through some Egyptian maid of yours. But you see what happened with her, just like many of us. Her pain overwhelmed her. Her prayers was not being answered. She wanted to be a mama. And public shame of not being a mama influenced her. In fact, she was wrestling with, I've been waiting 10 years when God made this promise, not realizing that 10 years is nothing to God. It's like, pink. He's outside the time continuum. Amen? And so she's wrestling with all this stuff. And this custom of a surrogate child, one that would be Abram and Sarai, not Abram and Hagar's. How do you do that? You see, this sin that we're going to read upon was not done in a medical facility or clinic. It was done in the bedroom. Can you imagine, especially for the ladies in the house and online, can you imagine this thought she might have had? This tormented thought, my husband would be better off with someone else because I'm such a burden to him. Oh, can you feel that in her? As she's making this cry out to Abram, this is a real challenge for Sarai. And yet Abram was the leader, and look what he chose to do. He's going to choose to sin. Even after the supernatural covenant with his God. That word heed, he listened to her. In the Hebrew, it has many definitions, but one of them I thought, because of my law enforcement background, I said, oh, I get that. To heed or to listen, it's a judicial fashion or logical thinking in a courtroom. Pour out evidence, come to a conclusion, right? How many of us know that God does not work on human logic? He's God. Sometimes he does things that are illogical. And you're like, huh? But he's God. He's God. I had this question in my mind, and what causes me not to trust God at times? What shakes me? And here's some of my thoughts. You might have your own. What causes me not to trust in God? I prioritize my vision. I want that. I want to do that. I want to go there. I want to have that. I want to be that. I prioritize my vision. I'm influenced by loved ones, those I'm really close with. I listen, and then they influence me. I've done that too. And here's one strictly on me. I get overcome by my emotions. And I make poor decisions. Because I'm sucked into that. Let's read verses 3 and 4. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. Wow. No one planned that one, huh? You see, even in our ungodly choices, like I said earlier, God sees us. And he cares about our journey. He does. Yet, I don't know if you ever think about this. Each choice you and I make will have consequences. Amen? And some of those consequences we have no control over, especially if it involves other people. We have no control over anyone else. You see, you and I as believers in Jesus, we must choose to walk in faith versus unbelief. We must be mindful that there is both a material realm that we see with our five senses and we experience here, and a spiritual realm that we cannot see and is so active that sometimes we don't want to admit is there, but is there. It's there. And when you start to think about that, it's just like, wow, here's Abram. Now he has this choice. And the ancient custom was not based on romance. It says, Sarai gave Hagar as his wife. It sounds romantic. It wasn't romantic. There's no romance to make a segregate child. No romance. In fact, if you follow ancient custom of their day, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but it's called sitting on the lap. So what does that mean? That means the Bible says when Abram went into Hagar, she possibly was sitting on Sarai's lap. And you know what going into means, right? I mean, they were having sex, right? So can you imagine that? You in the bedroom, your wife sitting there, the maid's on her, and Abram goes into her and gets her pregnant. Not too romantic, huh? It's kind of weird, if you ask me. And yet we don't process that, and because they needed to do that with the custom, because why? Because back then the child would legally belong to Abram and Sarai. That's why they did that, that sit on the lap custom. Because now that child is theirs and not Hagar's. That's what that custom showed. Kind of different from what we're used to here in America. But Jesus talked about this in John chapter 6, verse 63. And he told us really simply that when you do things in the flesh, look what he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. When you and I do things in the flesh, according to Jesus, profits nothing except self-centeredness, self-gratification. And I'm kind of shook by that. And I'm thinking, man, wow, Lord, I can be that way sometimes. Forgive me. And when you look at the goal, the objective of this, all that these three people are doing, they did have a baby. She conceived. That was the goal, have a baby. But it was not according to God's promises or his plans. I'm only going to speak for me. I've accomplished many things in my life and obtained many things in my life that not necessarily was in the will of God, because I never sought him for it, because I was leaning on my own abilities, my own thought. And I look back and I go, whoa, that didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. And when you start to process that, how many things you've done in your life that you didn't even seek God concerning it, and you reached a goal, you reached the objective, but maybe God had something different for you and for me. I'm challenged by that. And I look at Hagar here. Look at this. They could not control this. They could not control this. in verse 4. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. You see all the emotions now with Hagar and Sarai? No one could control that. That was not part of the plan. This was a business proposition. We were just to make a baby. But now you got Hagar considering herself better than Sarai, and there's no plan for this. And now Sarai is despising her. Another question came into my head reading this part is, why is it important to consider possible results of our choices? Do you even consider the possible results of some of the choices you make before you make them? I mean, is that important to you? It should be. Why, Fabe? Because it affects your walk and my walk with Jesus. It will definitely influence others in your life, your choices. But it could be positive too. Your choice could be, as Sean taught us last week, a faith building process. Even though it's hard, that hard choice could build you up like you never thought. I'm challenged by that. Do I look at my hard moments and see my faith being built? Because when I do see that, then I realize that the window is not bolted on the other side. God is there, seeing, watching, and loving over me. Verses 5 and 6. We'll close with these two. And Sarai said to Abram, May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. And verse 6. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your maid is your power. Do to her what is good in your sight. So Sarai treated her harshly, and she, Hagar, fled from her presence. No one thought about that part of the business proposition of making a baby, right? And look what happens. What does human beings, what do we do with each other? Notice the blame goes to the leader. Abram, you said yes. I just had this thought. You could have said no, but you wanted this Egyptian maid. And he's like, whoa, okay, all right. But you notice how we pass blame? We pass blame on each other? No one can ever control this unless it's within you. Emotions are firing in all three of them. Got a hurt, wannabe mama. You got a husband who's now confused, because now he's got another wife that he didn't really want. And then you got someone who's carrying a baby in her womb and she's feeling disrespected. And you got all this stuff firing. Relationships, this is gonna sound pretty familiar to some of our family things. Relationships are stretched. Relationships are breached. And the result is what? Chaos and confusion. The devil wins. Our ohana is broken up. Our familia, our families are broken up. It's broken up. Why? Because we're stretched and we're pulled outside of the will of God. You see, sin, when we look at each other, sin always looks worse on someone else. You ever notice that? Right? And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 and 5, 3 to 5, Jesus hit a home run with this. Look, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Ouch. Right? God is telling us, look, take care of your big stuff. And then scrape the little specks off of somebody else's if you want to. But if you don't take care of your stuff, how are you going to help others? Take care of your stuff first. My stuff first. Disobedience is the author of this difficult situation. Everybody is disobedient. Everyone. These three people who got involved were all disobedient to the plans of God. And it starts with the leader, Abram. And then it filters down. I'm looking at this moment and I'm noticing this. Sarai's cruelty had a collision course with Hagar's pride. No one could see that in the beginning of planning this baby. It's pretty big when you hit cruelty and pride. There's a big war there. And I mean, men aren't immune to this either. But, you know, my wife and I have been working with exploited young women for the last 2 years in a facility here on the North Shore. And one of the things that astounds me as a man, I'm like the only guy going in there to minister anyway. Oh, I see these young women just smiling and just fellowshipping, right? And like within a blink of an eye, yeah! And I'm sitting there going, whoa! How did that just happen? It's on. And I've seen it over and over again in the last 2 years. And I'm like, whoa, women can just, and it's on. You know, I never like looked at that before, but it's real. It happens. And so I'm looking at Sarai and Hagar, and they're really, oh, one's taking care of the other, one's treating the other good, and now baby's in the oven, and wow. And they're at it. How many times do we do that? One little thing. I'll share a gem with you tonight. Here's a gem. Here's a gem. Here's a gem. No cost. You keep the gem. My loved ones, you cannot give what you don't have. If you don't have love, you cannot give love. If you don't have grace, you cannot give grace. You don't have patience, you won't experience patience. When you start to process that, you're like, wow, man. I want to decrease, man. I want him to increase. And we need to get to that place in our lives so we can start in these end times, we can start living for him and not ourselves. Because this world don't need any more of us. They need more of Jesus. They don't need any more of us. They need more of Jesus and us in him. Then it's good. And so we see the end result. Look at the end of verse 6. Doesn't this fit her name? So Sarai treated her harshly, and she, Hagar, fled from her presence. Her name is flight. See that? And that's what she does. She runs. She probably had a hard life in Egypt, got conquered, and then boom, slave, right? After Abram conquered a few armies and rescued Lot and all that stuff. And here's this young woman, baby in the womb, choosing to dig, choosing to run. If you get anything tonight, as I begin to close, get this. Stop running. Stop. And I say that from my own experience. When I choose to let the Lord help me through the fire, I'm always, always stronger because of him on the other side. Always. He is faithful to build that faith building in us. And that only happens in fiery trials and tribulations. The God who sees. Do you know that's one of his names, right? El Roy. E-L-R-O-I, El Roy, the God who sees. I've recently experienced a couple of trips to Maui. My wife and I have been ministering there for a few years now. Just blessed to pour into the people up there. I've recently returned from a couple of trips, and I'm convinced because of these trips that God sees every situation there. I'm convinced of it. How do I know this? Because I know the character of my God. You want to know his character, not what people tell you, not what the world tells you. You read about him in this book, and he will give you truths about him that'll set you free. Set you free. And so as I read and study God's word, I know his heart, I know his character, and what his word tells me about him is true, despite my feelings, my intellect, and what everybody else is telling me around me. Personally, I know Jesus Christ in a personal way for Fabian, and he wants the same for every one of you, even you online listening. He wants you to know him personally in your own way, in your own situation. Then you can know his character intimately. You see, being on Maui, it's opened my eyes. It's opened my eyes to see Holy Spirit just moving in the hearts of people, including my own. And in every situation on Maui, I see God moving. God sees us tonight in this place. He sees it. Some of you made a hard decision to come. You're tired. You're maybe not feeling 100%. Maybe you're busy with some other things. But even online, you decided to turn it on. And I want to encourage you tonight as we leave this place. God sees us. And he cares about our journey. He cares about your life. You know, you've heard this before, right? God is good. And then what you hear after that? All the time. But they forget the second part that's really important. God is good all the time. And then this one, he cares. He's not only good all the time, he cares. I want you to take that torch, knowing that your God cares for you tonight and for me. And you go out blazing for the sake of Christ. These end times need a torch of truth. Our own families, amen? If Jesus came back tonight, how many of our loved ones would be going to hell? We're not judging, but we just know how they live. How many of them? And what are we doing about it? Let's start praying. Praying for their very souls. Let's start living life differently so they look and they go, whoa. Well, my Kalohe family in Kalihi knows something happened to me 34 years ago. They told me it was a fad. I'm still fadding out. ain't no fad, man. Jesus grabbed me and he said, come on. I said, praise the Lord. Thank you for even grabbing me. The same for you and your loved ones. That's the character of our God. Elroy, the God who sees. I want to pray for you tonight because I really believe in my home fellowship. I'm going through the book of Daniel, and over I see Daniel pouring his heart out. And I really believe with all my heart that you and I are being constantly harassed to wear us out in this end times. That is the devil's plan for our lives. For our families, to wear us out so we give up. We either surrender or we run. And we got fire insurance. We go in heaven, but I don't know about everybody else, but we go in heaven. That's not what God wants. So let me pray over you. Father, I look at my brothers and sisters here, and I can just feel the mana. I can feel the energy. I can feel the spirit of just us being constantly harassed day by day for some of us. And whatever situations are in this room tonight or online, God, I pray you, the God who sees, will step in and supernaturally anoint us and help us through the moments that we're facing now and the moments we're about to face as we leave this place tonight. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Would you help us, God, to be your hands and feet? When we hear the cry of your voice to go, even if it's hard, to do, even if it's hard, well, as my brother said, maybe just to shut your mouth, even if you want to say something, would you help us be these kinds of people, God? Give us more love and give us more of your power so we can be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you for having me. God bless you guys.